2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open your word. We thank you for Paul's words to the Thessalonians as he brings encouragement to them and helps them in their time of persecution and struggle. We pray, Lord, that we might learn from that. We pray that we would learn how to pray for one another. Open our hearts, Lord, that we would understand your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The very first words of our passage is where we're going to focus on tonight. Finally, brethren, pray for us. And it's an opportunity, first of all, to give a message on how to pray for your pastor. That's something I don't feel very comfortable in doing. It's one of those things you kind of want to leave up to some guest speaker to come in and say, this is how you take care of your pastor. So I thought, well, I posted at one time an outline to the sermon that Pastor St. Lawrence had preached and Grandma had jotted down, and a couple weeks ago it was laying down on the table, and so I snatched it up. I said, I don't want to lose that. I want to put it someplace where it's in good keeping, and it's still there somewhere. I could not find it wherever I put it, so that wasn't any help to me today either. But first of all, to me, it's difficult to, bring these things. It just kind of seems self-promoting. But I have to realize, too, that Paul was not one that was shy in asking for prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3:1, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27. We've already seen this before. That is not verse 25. Yep, there it is. Brethren, pray for us. Just blunt and short. There's a real admission to need, even in those words. Hebrews 13 in verse 7. Remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. That whole aspect of remember those who rule over you, I think, is more than just keeping them in mind, keeping them as an example before you, but certainly part of remembering them is upholding them in prayer. And you can look at verse 18, just a few verses later, the writer of Hebrews says, pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably, but I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. So those that were ministering in biblical times were willing to ask for prayer, and oftentimes giving an example or giving some instruction in that as well. And so I was thinking about, how do I hear people pray for pastor, especially as they pray for me? Oftentimes, these are the words that come out of our mouth. And I don't want to belittle that at all. But just thinking about this, give pastor the words to say. That's important. It's a recognition that it's the word of God. It's not the word of man. That I have a need and dependence upon God for that. But I hope that your prayers in your private life go a little bit deeper than, Lord, give pastor the words to say. If nothing else, let's at least add something to that. Because there's really two sides to the whole aspect of the preaching ministry. There's the preacher with the word of God, and there's the hearer to hear and to apply it. And so let's add to that, give us receptive hearts, that the word of God preached would bear fruit. But as I think about how would I desire to be prayed for, and as we get to the end of this, we're going to just realize that it's not just pray for pastor this way, but there's a lot here that is applicable to praying for anybody, any brother or sister in Christ at least. But first of all, I want us to think about these things, and I don't have scripture to back these first ones up, but just kind of meditating on these things. Pray your experience. What do I mean by that? Why would that be effective? Pray your experience. The thought behind that is that, as the scripture says, no temptation has taken you such as is common to man. Our experience does not stand unique. Okay? And the pastor is a human being, flawed, experiences many of the same difficulties, struggles, temptations, discouragements that you face. And so as you think about how should I pray for someone, how should I pray for my pastor, how would I want to be prayed for? I mean, it's even told us that Elijah was a man of like passions as we were. And you see that he prayed and the Lord heard him. But just focusing on that aspect that God's greatest servants are just people. Saved by grace, guided and directed, and really helped along by the prayers of the saints. And so when we think, pray your experience, we look at our own life and say, okay, what is it that I would want to be prayed for? Secondly, pray your fears. We're supposed to cast our care upon Him. And as you look at the pastor, his ministry, the church, what things trouble your heart and mind? What are the concerns that come to your mind? We can pray our fears. We can pray our desires. Pray our desires. What is it that you would want most for yourself? And it's taking, in some sense, that aspect of selfishness and turning it into something effective. That rather than focusing it on ourselves, realize that other people have these desires as well. As long as these desires are not ungodly desires, that I can be praying those things for others as well. And you know, it's probably not the aspect of, you know, that specific sweater that you want or the gun that you want or, you know, something like that. But thinking of my own life in the bigger picture, the spiritual aspects of it, what is it that I really want in my life? What is it do you want in your life?
Wisdom.
Wisdom. Okay.
Humility.
Humility. Joy. Peace. Victory.
Discernment.
Okay, so we can look at our own spiritual desires and know that those are things that all of us as believers desire. We all want those things. And so we can be praying for our pastor through the very desires of our own experience. Pray your expectations. And I guess kind of along with that, your criticisms. How do you spell criticisms? We'll do that. It's not right, but that's what we're going to do. Pray your expectations. Yeah, there you go. You can pray about my spelling. I don't know if it's going to do you any good, but you can pray about it. Pray your expectations and your criticisms. When we look at the ministry of the church and the ministry of the pastor, there's things that we would hope would be taking place. We want the pastor to meet certain expectations, to be certain places, to have certain words of wisdom at appropriate times of need. We'd hope that there would be an evangelistic effort. Whatever those expectations are that we have of the church and of the pastor, we need to take those to the Lord and allow the Lord to work them in and through. And rather than turning all of those things into criticisms that would tear down the ministry, tear down the individual, bring a bad spirit into the church, we can take those things to the Lord. Would you have any other thoughts such as these? I've got a number of verses we're going to look at here. Okay. Well, let's go to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 9:27. I'll give you the references, you read the verses, and we'll just make the comment as we go. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Okay, what do you suppose that we can pray for the pastor there? That he would not do anything that would be disqualifying. That he would not be disqualified. And along with that, in there, we see an aspect of self-control. That we can be praying for self-control, that he would not do anything that would cause him to become disqualified. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. As you look that up, it's a very important thing to be praying, because how many men have become disqualified? And oftentimes, we hear about those that have excelled in the ministry to some degree. They're pastors of large churches or TV ministries or radio broadcasts or some well-known minister to the church in some aspect ends up becoming disqualified. And it brings a great disgrace upon the church as well as upon the name of Jesus Christ and the testimony. But there's not one of us that is not vulnerable to being disqualified. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. Okay, so there's a list of things in that he's praying for the church, and we can be praying for our pastors as we think of this, to be strengthened in the inner man, that we would grow in our faith, rooted in love, filled. How did it say? Filled with the fullness of God. Strengthened in the inner man. And faith, I think, have a close relationship to one another. It's character. It's the spirit that we can become cast down and discouraged. We face a lot of different problems and difficulties. We need to be careful to pray that they'd be strengthened, that they would have growth in faith, love for God and love for their people, and how easy it is to not love people, even ones that you've known for, the longer you know them, maybe the harder it is to love them. Okay? I mean, how many marriages fall apart after 20 years? Sometimes the longer we know, the harder it is to love. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. I'll give you a couple more here. 2 Peter 3:18, 1 Timothy 1:7, 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 15. That is not second. That's 1 Timothy 4:15. I was going to say that did not sound right. Okay. And here I'd say that their spiritual progress would be evident. Spiritual progress would be evident. It's very easy to stagnate. And just because you're studying the Word, preparing messages and so forth, doesn't mean that you're being ministered to spiritually. We can become hardened. 1 Peter 3:18. Or excuse me, 2 Peter 3:18. Okay. Grow in grace and knowledge. We have to know our Lord and Savior if we're going to be able to lead others to Him. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 7. Okay, so there's a problem that needs to be avoided. And so what would be the answer there? He needs to understand the Word. That is a spiritual work. The Spirit of God has got to illuminate the Word that we would understand what it means, its significance spiritually, but also application. How does that Word apply? I'll tell you, struggled greatly with the message this morning. It just seems like we're saying the same thing again and again, and it's a sermon in which we don't get to the application until a couple chapters down the road. And so it's, how does this apply? Trying to understand difficult passages. How do you answer hard questions? 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7 and verse 15. Okay, these all definitely fall under the first one that we had there, the qualifications, that he would not become disqualified. But the emphasis that I was thinking here was a couple of things, as blamelessness and to rule his own house. Pray for his family, that he'd have wisdom to know how to raise up his children, to love his wife, to meet the needs of his home. Verse 15 would play along with that. If he doesn't know how to rule his own house, how is he going to rule the house of God? He needs to know how to behave himself in the house of God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay, it goes along with understanding the Word, but it was rightly dividing it. 2 Timothy 2:21. There's no 21 verses in 2 Timothy. Oh, I'm in 1 Timothy. I did the same mistake there. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. The pastor would be a useful vessel to the Lord. Ephesians 5 and verse 17. Okay. Certainly important for all of us, but in particular for the pastor as he is leading others to know what God's will is. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. Okay, we've got a number of those already up here. I want to add to that the fruitful in every good work. I was talking with a friend of mine, and we're both pastoring small churches, and it's like, well, you know, it's kind of nice that on the one hand, we don't have a lot of expectation. You know, we don't have a full counseling schedule. We don't have a lot of programs that we have to run or, you know, administrative elements to the church. I said, yeah, that's true. But the flip side of that coin is, You don't feel like you've accomplished very much. You're not doing anything. So you have no measuring stick of accomplishments. You don't feel like you're being very fruitful in the things that you do. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Okay, don't neglect the gift. He's speaking to Timothy there. So if we turn that into a prayer, we could say something along the line of that we would desire that he would excel in the gift given by God. If we all have spiritual gifts, we would excel in those things. We go back to our text in 2 Thessalonians 3. He mentioned a couple of things here. As he said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified. And the idea of that is that there would be the obstacles to the gospel and to the ministry of the word of God would be removed. When you run swiftly, you have to run on good ground. So that the word would run swiftly, that God would be glorified, the word of God would be exalted, as he goes on to say there, and be glorified, just as it is with you. And then the second prayer request he has in verse 2, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So there are real dangers in this world as you take a stand for Christ. James chapter 1 and verse 23 through 25. James 1, 23 through 25. Okay. We preach a lot. We have to preach that never-ending train of messages, three a week. We exhort others all the time into godliness. And it is difficult to do all that we say to others to do. So we need to do what we preach, or be doers of the word. And Colossians 4 in verse 3. Okay, pray for an open door. In part, that goes back to that where we started, adding that give us receptive hearts. The ministry of the word of God is being presented from the pulpit of the church, and where's the audience? Where's the open door? It's right here in the hearts of each one that sits here. Pray that the Lord would have an open door for his word. Pray that he would have open door for opportunities outside of here. For each and every one of us, we need opportunities to be a testimony for Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6, 11, Hebrews 3, 16, and 14. Okay, chapter 3 and verse 6. Okay, in verse 14. What do those three verses have in common? Holding fast. What else does it have in common? Till the end. Till the end. All right, hold fast. Till the end. How easy it is to have a good run. You do well for a while. You might see some progress spiritually, and then the wheels come off and you don't end well. We need to pray that we'd be faithful to the very end. One more I just thought of, and I haven't come up with a verse, but it was kind of mentioned in one of the verses we read there in Hebrews, joy. I mean, how important it is to have a good attitude when you're trying to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's easy to get bogged down with the problems of life and the problems of a church and trying to minister in messy situations and feeling the stress, you know, doing things that we were way outside of our comfort zone, and it's easy to lose that joy. Just the routine every week, doing the same thing, and it just never seems to end. you can lose your joy. So, number of ways to pray for your pastor, but really there's nothing here that we couldn't take and use to pray for one another. We all need these same things. So I hope that you can maybe increase the thoughtfulness of your prayer life. I know sometimes we bow our heads and we pray and we want to pray, but we just don't know quite what to say. But maybe this can help us out to have a heart for people. Put ourselves in their shoes and have sincerity to our prayers. Dan, would you go ahead and close in prayer for us tonight?